You're listening to Out of Bounds with Dota. Lose your eye.
Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to our first show of 2019. If you've been with us, you know we have to dust off the cobwebs in the studio because we haven't been together for a while. The holiday schedules have gotten a little tricky, and we're back. If you're listening for the first time, thank you. Welcome. If you're returning, thank you for your support. We're back. We don't have the full crew today. Mark's on injured reserve.
Back problems.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year.
You guys have good holidays?
Fantastic, man.
Absolutely.
Pretty fantastic good, time. 2019. 2019 January is like the month that you forget to put 2019.
Oh, yeah.
You just always
write it.
18.
I write it every day at work.
Like on your checks or on your computer. And like you just fuck everything up.
Yep.
I'm just like, God damn it. I never get it sent back, though. They always cash the checks. Someone cashes the checks. They want their money. They'll get their money somehow.
Money talks, right? Doesn't matter how you do it. You know, we talked last year on this show. We're not really resolution kind of guys.
I have one, though.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Oh, do tell.
This is a tough one, dude. You guys know me pretty well. I wouldn't say you guys know me that great, but you guys know me pretty well. only 39 years, right, Steve? 40 years. But I'm focusing on less stress, okay? I know that's kind of like a typical thing to say, or everybody says, oh, duh, everybody has stress. But no, like, yeah, really stress. Like, I'm always the guy that looks to the future. We have everything set up for the next year, for work, for family, spending, saving, this and that, business, you know, making deals for the end of next year. I want to live for now. I want to live in the moment. Obviously, you know, I'm going to make the right moves and not be stupid.
Sure.
But I'm just going to try. You really have to try to focus on it. Stress causes all that. I had this little rash happening around my eye. Don't know what the hell it is. Went to the dermatologist. We just started shooting a shit. He was hilarious, by the way. I've never been to this guy. His name is Dr. Brown. He's supposed to be one of the best and in Detroit. And I went and seen him and just fucking throwing F-bombs and shit out there. And I'm like, what the fuck's going on? He's like,
Did you invite him on the podcast?
Yeah, you know. I go, yeah, you know my wife. I'm like, yeah, my wife referred me to him. And I'm like, yeah, you know my wife. And he's just like, well, what the hell has that got to do with your rash on your eye? And I'm like, well, I'm just making small talk. So right off the rip, we start getting into this kind of flow. You know what I mean?
Great.
Puts his foot up on the wall when he's on the chair. He's talking to me. He's about 65, 7-year-old guy. Anyways, we start getting into it. And we're, you know, he ends up being real sharp and bright. And he's just like, at the end of telling me what to put on the eye, this and that. We can't figure out if it's a allergy or if it's just, you know, something else that's like a whatever. Anyways. He says, let me tell you, it's stress. He goes, stress causes all types of weird things. And just focus. We start talking about stress and handling stress. And he's like, you got to get involved, you know. And I tell him I do yoga. And he's like, great. He's like, you got to do sports. So I'm just like, I'm trying to focus now. After that conversation with a derm, not a psychologist.
Right, isn't that crazy?
Right? I'm telling you.
Way cheaper,
by
the way.
It just made me think about, right. It made me think about it more and be like, listen, man, I got to really focus in on the day and what's happening around me now and stuff, thinking about next spring and next winter, you know, with work. And, you know, obviously it's all has to do with money and work related to money and where you can spend it, where you can go, what's the future. If you're self-employed, anybody out there self-employed, you're always thinking about tomorrow.
Yeah, because you don't have that safety net
Sure. So, and that's what causes stress. That's what causes, I mean, even when things are good, I'm still thinking about the future. Is the economy going to be great? Can you go this? Can you do this? Can you grow? Should you shrink? Should you hire more? Should you not? No, now I look, for an example, we're finding guys for our, you know, it's always a struggle in the spring and summer to find employees for every company, any company in the world.
In the winter, you mean?
In a summer.
It's hard to find in the summer?
Yeah, because everybody's busy.
Oh, I thought.
Everybody's got jobs.
Oh. Right, yeah.
Well, the smaller guys usually in the winter don't. So I wanted to grab those guys up and leave companies who don't have work for them and pick them up and get them loaded. And now we have too many guys. So now I'm like, shit, I got to keep these guys fucking busy. Right. So now I'm stressing out. I got to go find more work to give these guys just to keep them so they don't leave me in the spring because, you know, they're new. Yeah. So once they start working for us, everybody usually loves working for us, most people. So then I can keep them and lock them in, and then that's how you grow. Nice. So I stress. I'm going back. Fucking stress. Now I'm stressing because I have too much of what I
– You brought it up, dude.
Anyway, I'm stressing right now. What the fuck?
Owner.
Business owner. Of course you're going. Anyways, that's my resolution is to not stress about the future. Live now.
That's good. That's good. You know, 2018 was a good year for me personally, professionally. I had to make one, not to get too deep or personal. I had to make one of those decisions that's hard to make. Like, I had to
get deep, Dota. That's what we're here to do, man.
Let's get balls deep, bro.
It don't have to be about sports.
You know, I had to make one of those tough decisions that you have to make as an adult and as a man. I had to divorce myself from toxic family members.
Oh wow,
that was one of those things that's hard to do because you grow up in that. You guys know how
I can relate to that.
We grow up in this atmosphere of like you have this idea of family since you know from an early age, and then as you get older, you realize that it's never really exactly that. You know, it's more about the name or the public perception of that.
Right.
And I had to make that, you know, it's especially as a parent, as a father, because you never want that day to come where you where you have to, you hope that your kids don't have to make that decision about you or your spouse or anybody you know, that close to you. And so it was one of those things where I just, you know, I said, look, I got to man up. I got to make this decision for me and my family.
Right.
You know, because my family's. That's my number one priority. Absolutely. And so that's kind of, I guess if I have a resolution, that's it. I'm cutting toxic people out of my life. You guys know as you get older, your circle gets smaller.
Yeah.
Your friends, all that stuff, the people you hang out with. So I'm just leaving negativity and toxicity in 2018 and moving forward 2019.
Oh, I love that.
It's the only way to do it.
I've been doing that for 10 years. That's why I got two friends and you guys.
Well, it's always been, and that's the thing though. Like I'm always the, you know, tell it like it is. I'm not going to bullshit you.
Yeah.
An honest person, but it came to the point where it's different sometimes with family.
What it was for me, and it's you want to be around people who have the same core beliefs as you.
Yes.
Same moral values 100%. That you have, that you think about. You can't expect everybody to agree with everything that you believe in, but the core values, you want to be around those people. Family, work ethic, just be on the same page. Even politics don't have to be the same. But if your core values are the same, that's how you build. When you get older, that's how you build your surroundings. That's your inner circle. And you don't need more than outside your family. I mean, I got six people in my immediate family. I mean, I love my cousins. I love my uncles. I love my aunts. I love my brothers and sisters. But honestly, like, everyday thinking is just about my family.
Yeah, and you have to be that
everyday operations. I wish best for everybody. I don't know. Obviously, I'm saying that. I don't wish anything bad about anybody.
Yeah.
But in my day-to-day operations and my thinking, it's about my core. It's my immediate family. Marco's dad said it best. I say this all the time. I can remember the day we sat at his table, and he said, and Marco would know 100% when this happened. We were like 20 years old or 21, and we were drinking beers. And we were just sitting there talking. I think we were going out. He's like, Marco's dad was always about, you don't have friends. You don't have friends. And, you know, when your kids, dad says that, you're like, oh, come on, dad. Come on, Mark. You know? He's like, wouldn't you lock your door at night? That's all you got. Yeah. Back then, we were like, this guy's nuts, dude. He just hates everybody.
Yeah.
But I understand what he means. It's what you really just – what you need is what you – when you lock
for
your door, it's all you need.
For
mean, you want to be high in acquaintances and this. And I have two best friends that I talk to weekly. We see each other every 6 months, maybe once a year, twice a year.
Yeah.
But we have communications weekly.
Well, and that's the thing. Yeah, right? You know, so and that's the thing. You know, you're at peace with the decision. You don't wish anybody any harm. But and those people in your circle, they don't necessarily have to agree with you, but they understand and support you in those decisions.
Right.
They
absolutely.
You don't have to agree with somebody to support them in decisions they make. So that's the important thing.
Right,
about,
because their life is different than yours.
Right, and that's the thing. And the understanding with those friends that if you only see them a few times a year, a couple times a year, that you can – get back to right where you left off, and they understand that because they got their thing going on.
Right, absolutely.
And that's it. That's all I'm looking forward to in 2019. Just, you know.
Steve?
Stress comes with that, too.
I'm cool with everybody. I'm different than you.
That's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to get a little bit more like you. Like, just be, like, less stressed about shit.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I just call people that I don't talk to in a while. Just to say hi, but.
Oh, well, we all do that once in a while. Check in. You check in with people that you like.
Yeah. Other than that, I
got one guy that I do that to. That's all the only person I like.
But no, I'm cool with everybody. I mean, I you like to be in a smaller circle, and
I'm a little more private.
Yeah, you're a little bit more private, I don't know. I'm good.
No, I know what else you're good at. 2019, you're wearing that Honolulu blue to start off the season.
It was a gift. It was a gift.
Start off the 2019 year.
It was a gift from Marky.
Wow.
So
you got it for my birthday, and I'm going to sport it. I'm a true fan.
2019, you got any resolutions for the Lions?
Yeah, blow the fucking thing up.
Wow.
Not blow it up. They're
Stafford out, too?
No. I think the core is they are trying to establish the culture, like they said at the beginning.
Okay.
And the defense is starting to come together. Ever since the Snacks trade, they've just been playing really good defense. They just need some more talent. So we're going to have, you know, we're going to have $50 million, $60 million to spend and a high draft pick.
Where do you spend that? If you're the GM, if you're Bob Quinn right now, where do you spend that $50, $60 million?
Edge rusher, for sure. Okay, we don't know if TJ Lang is going to be back because you need a guard. Mm-hmm. You need a mauler in the middle to give Stafford more time. So edge rusher, you need a linebacker, outside linebacker. You need interior line help. Other than that, I mean, you can find little deals with like another wide receiver and free agency, stuff like that.
But you think they can address a lot, like the major issues with that $50, $60 million
plus
the
draft? Absolutely, absolutely. They got Trey Flowers in New England, who's a New England player who's really good, who's a free agent. And they're going to be targeting him.
You think they can sway him?
Yeah, they're going to be targeting him. And they got the eighth pick, who they've been hinting that they might trade down. But if the right guy falls, I mean, you got if you can't find a Pro Bowler like in the eighth pick, then you need to change scouts. I mean, eight players in the whole draft. You better find somebody good.
Isn't Bob Quinn supposed to be one of the best scouts?
I mean,
you got to get somebody.
You hire a scout team, so
you got to get somebody.
I mean, they should know, but it's the system that you're running, and you know they got to put the players in the right system because you can't get a 4-3 guy if you're running a 3-4.
Right.
So
well,
I mean,
and that's part of the thing, like. It's really hard to grade Matt Patricia. I know there were a lot of people at the end of the season calling for his head and calling for the Lions to just quickly move on from him.
Yeah.
I think when you bring a head coach into – now, it doesn't help that Bob Quinn at the end of last year when he fires Jim Caldwell says, this team is better than 9-7.
What's he supposed to say? I mean, he's not going to say the worst.
I mean, I get all that.
He's got to say the right things.
But he kind of sets the anticipation and the expectation level. When you say a 9-6 team who is – or 9-7 team who is – almost in the playoffs, and then you got a new coach who comes in and wins six games. You know, that's not better than 9-7.
Well, they traded. Injuries hurt. They traded Tate. That hurt a little bit, but they still weren't going
to
make the playoffs.
I like to give
Tate back. You never know.
If he wants to come back, if he really liked it,
he's doing great over there.
I think it depends. I think it depends on the conversation they had when they traded him, and it didn't sound like it was
a good one. Really? I don't.
He was like, I think he was just as surprised as everybody else when he got traded. Now Quinn and
about it, so he had to have known. I mean, we were talking about it like we need to get something for him if he's going to leave anyway at the end of the year.
Listen,
so,
Bob Quinn at the end of the year said they got an offer they couldn't refuse on Golden Tate.
Well, we didn't have a third round pick at the time, so it was. I mean, it was.
I don't mind it.
No, I don't mind.
No,
it either.
I didn't hate it. It was hindsight's 2020, right? So now at the end of the season, you say, well, what have been the value in keeping him?
Right.
Win one or two more games. That doesn't get you anywhere.
Right. Which I would have been closer to my prediction. But
look, I liked it. Yeah. What was your
nine? I write it down.
You were better with your Browns prediction.
Yeah. Give us.
I was. I had seven.
Give us some props right here, John, and I had him at 6 wins.
That's right, baby.
Yeah,
right.
You got
right
lucky,
off the rip.
Though. You got lucky.
Right off the rip. Right
you
out
got
of the
so
gate.
So lucky. Kerryon got hurt. Marvin Jones got hurt. Tate got traded.
What, expect everybody to be healthy all year long?
Okay, but they're not their three best players. I'm to be gone.
Running backs.
No, if I got lucky, I wouldn't be here on a Sunday night just doing a podcast.
Yeah.
If I was lucky, I'd be on an island somewhere on my own yacht.
Nobody thought they were going to win 6 wins except for you two.
Then we're fucking smart. Tell the world.
They had 7.5. They had 7.5 in Vegas. Yeah. That's what scared me. That's when I said at 9, and then I seen that 7.5. That scared me because they're always like on point.
We bet the under and won.
Right. We got lucky.
For no money. That's where we fucked
up.
We bought the Browns to throw $50.
We got bragging rights.
What the fuck?
We got bragging rights. Hey, congratulations. You started. You and Mark started 2019.
You guys made a lot of money
50,
off us.
Oh, 50
yeah.
bucks.
Yeah, go Cleveland. First time I ever rode it for an Ohio team.
I'll be surprised. They come together. But different stories. If they wouldn't have fired their coach, we would have won our bet.
No.
Yeah. That was a shit show of an operation going on.
They still had a good
We watched HBO Hard Knocks. That was a shit show operation. You could tell right off the rip.
That's
if you thin sliced the coach.
That's where
they
you fucked
no,
up.
They had no respect.
You watched that show and you're like, oh, they're not winning 3 games.
Well, I was right.
No, because I said they're winning 7 and I was right.
No, you got lucky. That's my point. Because they fired a coach and then everything changed.
No, they played Baker and they started winning. That's what happened.
Exactly. If they would have kept the coach, it would have said
that's
the
why they
year.
Fired the coach.
No, he would have had to. The fans would have made him.
Do you remember Hugh Jackson went to Baker Mayfield?
What an asshole he is.
The number one.
What an asshole
pick.
Hugh Jackson. You ever see his interviews? He's the most politically correct guy. We made the best team for best decision for our team. We got together.
Shut
we made the best
fuck
team,
up.
Best decision, best
no,
decision,
no, no, no.
And yeah. and that's what we went.
You
with.
Realize you went to the you
the
went
fuck out of here.
You went to the number one pick and told him he earned the right to be the backup.
Wow.
Who says that? First of all. Like, that to me tells me first,
just hurt,
for, like,
it,
first
it just
of all,
hurts his credibility as a coach for, moving forward.
Well, to me, what it says is you weren't in on Baker Mayfield from the beginning. You didn't even want to draft him.
Right, right.
Because if you don't start him, if you don't have that conversation, like,
yeah,
you,
he was betting, he was betting on himself that he's going to look like a genius.
He
with Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor, that's why they got him, is to start 3-4 games just to get Baker involved.
You get him. So. You get him. You have him.
No,
you're supposed to know talent. You're supposed to know talent when you get it out on your field.
Baker's the real deal, dude. He's the real deal, and he missed.
Yeah,
he swung and missed.
Yeah, he's really good.
And that's
he's a competitor. You know what I like about Baker after the season's down now is, you know, he comes out all flashy. He backed it up. He comes out.
Yeah,
you get people like Colin Cowherd hating on him hard.
Yeah.
And then Colin even backing up off it because he's a competitor.
Right.
He's still cocky, but he's backing it up.
Yeah.
He's making plays.
I have no problem with that.
That are pretty damn good for a guy, you know, for a quarterback. So you got to respect his competitive edge, man. He's a competitor.
But what does his team have? His team has a great defense.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Well,
here we go.
But I'm saying, but he's got a good offensive line, and he's got Nick Chubb running, so it helps the quarterback. That
no
helps.
Shit, Steve.
Well, I'm saying,
well, no, that's great. I mean,
no,
but that's what I'm saying. All that in play, and you should fucking start him from game one.
Exactly.
That's my point.
You should.
Coach should already know he's got a good defense. They traded. They didn't
you
have
took
Carlos.
My money.
They had Carlos Hyde
Must
to start
confess.
The year.
Thank
so.
You, man. Thank
took
you.
My
so,
money.
Yeah, congratulations.
What'd you spend it? What'd you buy?
$50 richer to start.
What'd you buy with that? Did you have a nice dinner?
I don't even remember.
Did you buy lunch for the guys
problem?
At work for Larry?
Osaka.
You went to Osaka and Osaka? Smelled like fucking grease coming out there for 2 days.
Oh, my God. I came home. My wife was like, where'd you guys go? You smell like wherever
had,
you
had
went.
This, actually had this shirt on. Fucking threw it. Guess what? It's supposed to be dry clean only. It was an expensive shirt. I threw it in the fucking... laundry room. My wife washed it. And then I yell at her. She was like, "Well, why did you put it in the dirty clothes?" I'm like, "I don't know. It smells so bad. I just threw
exactly
it, dude." And then I look.
So
I put it on. It's like tight as shit. It's supposed to be baggy. I'm like, "What the fuck?" I look. It says dry clean only. I'm like, "Motherfucker, me of all people are gonna do something stupid like that."
He was a shit cook too. He was not boring, man. The people next to
did
us.
Did he
were
even
fucking,
talk to us?
Why you go there for the entertainment?
No, but the cooks are funny though. They tell jokes. Like
the guy, shit
did
about
you,
the
did
cook?
You hear the table next to us?
We're
they were
about
cracking
about
up.
Grill,
they were cracking up no. the table next to us.
No, I didn't.
No, I don't really.
No, I go there just.
That food was good. It has a lobster.
It is really good food.
Great. I felt like 10,000.
Was it lobster good?
I left that.
Was it lobster good?
Fucking fantastic.
Oh, it was good. It was good.
It was good.
I had the steak and chicken.
We had a good time.
It was fun.
Especially after whipping your guys' asses in golf at X Golf.
Oh, whatever.
Oh,
we were
my
fucking
God.
Drunk.
God, dude.
Drank fucking quarter barrel of fucking.
Wow.
I think
wow.
I had a gallon of Cold Snap that day.
Holy schmoly. What the hell am I saying? I mean, Cold Snap. They're the only ones who had Cold Snap in the whole state.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
2 weeks ago.
Interestingly enough, even the guy told us, like, Cold Snap, like I've even checked other stores. They don't have it yet.
Yeah. Art and Jake's doesn't even
thank
have
God
it.
We get
I'm
an unlimited
cold
supply
snap?
Of Cold Snap from Sam Adams.
I go to Art and Jake's. I go to Art and Jake's. I go, you don't have Cold Snap? She goes, it's a seasonal beer. I go, it's in season.
Yeah.
I go,
usually January.
No,
that's
January,
why I was shocked to see
said.
It the
yeah,
week
yeah.
before
oh,
Christmas.
I didn't,
yeah.
Oh.
No, it's yeah, because they get their winter ale. Anyways,
anyways, I was hitting, you know, more Cold Snaps I got, the longer I was hitting my driver.
I came in second,
295 yard drives.
Well, okay, for the record.
Right,
most people who listen know you're a really good golfer. Yeah, other people who golf with you know you're a pretty good golfer.
Not good, pretty good. I'm just below average, but
so you suck.
But I'm better than you guys.
So you're in a suck side of average.
Well, you're better than me and Mark.
Mark, so Stevie's on the suck side of average.
I came
so if
in
you're
second.
Average, you're average, and if you're not, you're suck.
I came in second out of four, so I'm
yeah.
right there.
Oh boy, no, that was fun. X Golf and Shelby.
I shaved 10 strokes off of Dota's fucking
oh, yeah.
swing.
Yeah.
Off his game that day. That was great.
Yeah, you did. You did. I learned more from Johnny. And
I went swimming in a par three. Fucking 205 yards. I didn't even make it there.
Marco hit a four iron 120 yards. Stevie just fucking snorted it live on fucking podcast.
I didn't snort.
Marco goes, what should I hit here? Par three, 180. I go four iron. All right, second shot. 80. What do I hit here? Four iron. Put it on the green. He hit the fucking bunker. Slid out of the bunker. He's on the green. He's like, what a shot. Oh,
that was
funny,
fun.
Dude. That was some fun shit.
That was fun. You did some golfing this week with 40,
oh, the
50 degree weather.
Weather. January, man. When you get a chance to golf in Michigan in January, man?
Yeah.
Fucking
so
about
rare.
52 degrees. I was, you know, got done shooting some hoops with my son at Lifetime. I'm like, you want to go golfing? Fuck, we went up there. It was jam-packed, man.
Wow.
T-Box was lined up. People in the line. It was great. It was all a little mushy and sloppy out there, but got to see the ball fly. I mean, the pond was full of – some of the ponds were full of ice. We were skipping shitty balls across the ice, see how if we can get it across while we waited. Great. But it was great, man. I love golf with my son. It's fun.
Can't wait.
Speaking of jam-packed, so the Lions – every game next year is still going to be sold out.
Of course.
Fucking sold out. I went to the Minnesota Vikings game.
Of course. Oh, why wouldn't it be?
I got $75 seats, sixth row, 10-yard line, 5-yard line.
Yeah,
I'm like, these are fucking fantastic seats. We're going in there. It took forever to get in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, jam-packed, man.
Yeah, of
maybe
course.
Not sold out, but the whole lower bowl was sold out.
Yeah. No, well, it was more than that.
It was probably
it
sold
was
out.
More than that, but it was close to sold out, yeah. Sold out, yeah. Whatever.
A lot of visitors.
Yes.
Six and ten season. You know, I give first year head coaches a somewhat of a pass, even though I think
I mean, you gotta
Patricia
give them more than 1 year.
I think he's arrogant as fuck. I don't have a problem with. Here's the thing, I don't have a problem with you thinking you're the smartest person in the room, or even acting like it, as long as you have something to show for it. Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia walk into the room and act like they are the smartest people in the room, and they very well may be. But you have nothing to show for it.
Not here.
So you
they,
can't.
They do. They've won before.
You have nothing to show
not
for
here.
It here
yeah,
as a Detroit Lion. You walk
course,
in wearing a
course.
Fucking Lions hat and Lions logo that's on your shirt.
But he's trying to change that. That's
back
the,
that
that's
shit
the,
up.
He's trying to change it. That's what it's,
listen,
gonna,
I'm,
it's not going to do
I'm,
in
I'm,
1 year.
I'm being, yeah, I'm being patient with him.
Well, what?
But I will not be patient with
next
a pencil
year.
In your fucking ear.
That's his
okay,
trademark.
That's stupid that you have a trademark.
Well, whatever.
Okay? You're a fucking NFL coach. You're not a fucking WWE wrestler.
I wish his trademark,
okay, trademark
was winning.
You're not a trademark. Let's talk about trademark. Hold on a second.
Belichick's trademark. What is it?
Winning.
The hoodie?
No, yeah.
No,
hoodie.
He don't wear it every
hoodie.
Fucking week.
It's well, winning.
It's
that's his
degrees.
Trademark.
He wears it when it's
course,
fucking cold buddy. Outside, and he doesn't want to wear a coat. With
no,
the, he wears
but,
the undershirt. That slop.
It's a hoodie.
Listen, Pat Patricia fucking trademark.
Pat Patricia?
Pat Patricia.
Is that Matt's brother?
I'm going to call him Pat. Fucking Pat Patricia. Listen, the pencil in the fucking ear when you have a laminated sheet is not
matter.
A trademark to me,
it doesn't
Dota.
Matter me.
Okay?
It's, no, it's not. And
Pat
I've called him
fucking
up for that.
Patricia. Listen to me.
Fat Patricia.
Fat.
Maybe.
That's what I probably tried to say.
Shaved his
Fat
beard.
Fat Patricia. Listen, I'm being patient with him. I'm going to give him a whole another year.
Yeah,
right?
I'll give him another
if he gets
you
eight,
have to.
I'll be patient one more. If he gets eight wins,
no,
I'll
they
got to
be playoffs next
he
year.
Might get, oh, he off. Might get 12 wins next
no, listen,
year.
Listen, the trademark thing's got to go. I'm sorry. It doesn't make any sense.
It's
if it was a fucking
nowhere.
Piece of paper that and you didn't use it, I get it. It's just that I have it. But you can't. You can never use it. All right?
They have that'd T-shirts.
You're already a mess.
They have
you already gained 50 would, fucking pounds.
Not
he gained 50 pounds since he got here.
It's Coney,
Coney
dogs,
Islands, man.
Motherfucker, bro.
He's not eating fish from the sea.
Get
over
your shit together.
New England
first,
anymore.
You got to just let. You got to be on point with that. That look. That look tells you you're sloppy. Your operation, your inner circle inside of you is a fucking mess. You're fucking going to make the team a mess.
No.
But your shit, be a leader. Fucking get up
well,
there and do the
yeah,
right thing.
I mean,
no, man. I got a pencil in my. I'm serious. I'm serious here. All right? Sit up and don't fucking slunch over. I got a pencil in my fucking ear, and I have a laminate. Sit up and be serious. Get the fuck out of here, man.
I'm
that's,
good.
That's
I'm
the,
good.
That's the arrogance that I'm talking
I don't
about.
Like that bullshit. All right? Set a tone. Set the fucking right example.
Well, and the other part of it for me
but
is—
but I'm giving him another year.
After all that.
Pat. Pat Patricia.
Pat Patricia probably won more NFL
hey,
games
hey, when you
this
fuck
year.
Up on this show, own it and just go with it, all right?
That's fantastic.
It. You go with it. You just ride it out. That's all right?
All right, lot to be seen, lot to be talked about in the coming years. Let's talk about the one thing this year that has been talked about in the sports world probably more than anything 6 days into 2019, and that's LeBron James and his self-proclamation.
Oh, man. The GOAT of all times?
Oh, man.
GOAT of all times.
You know,
that doesn't even make sense.
No, it doesn't. But I'm going to play the clip because I have it. If you haven't
oh,
seen
yeah.
it,
bring
let's
it,
play
Dota.
It. Let's dissect it.
Step
let's
that
dissect
shit
that.
Up
We're
for 2019. We are stepping it up.
Hey, I'm going to be Pat Patricia over
do
here.
Do it, Pat.
Right,
maybe he'll call in.
Take a listen.
That one right there made me the greatest player of all time.
For
that's
so
what
many
I felt.
Reasons.
Oh, shit.
I was super, super ecstatic to win one for Cleveland because of the 52-year drought. Like, I was ecstatic. Like, obviously, I showed that the first wave of emotion was when y'all, everyone saw me crying. Like, that was all for 52 years. Everything in sports going on in Cleveland. And then after I stopped, I was like, that one right there made you the greatest player of all time. No, everybody was just talking how they were the greatest team of all time. Like, it was the greatest team to ever assemble. And for us to come back, you know, the way we came back in that fashion, I was like, you did something special. That's like one of the only times in my career I felt like, oh, shit, like you did something special. I haven't really had time to really, like, sit back and think, but that... That was a moment.
That was a moment.
That's fucked.
That was a moment.
Makes me hate him more.
I'm a big fan, and I always say, I've said on a show a million times, I like to appreciate people for their performances and what they do on the field and on the stage and movies, but I don't like to follow them off the court. But, man, when you're doing shit like this, to say that you're the GOAT, this is beyond eras. This is beyond millennials and whatever you want to call it, zillennials or whatever the hell the word is, and us and anybody, okay? Any era. To be the GOAT, somebody else has to say that you're the GOAT, that you're the greatest of all time. One. It just has to go that way. Because everybody feels right now that they're the GOAT in every sport that they play. Okay? They just do. You don't think Kevin Durant feels like he's the greatest of all time because he's unstoppable? You don't think that – like, somebody else – that's part of being a GOAT of anything.
Yeah.
It's more people talking about you. Not you talking about yourself. You just can't, man. And it's beyond being humble. It's just he's not aware of that, man. That, you know, of all people, it just surprises me, of all people, and I'm a big LeBron James basketball fan, but of all people who's so aware, self-aware of what's going on around him and his businesses and his game and his team and his coaching, and he talks about that all the time. But to have no self-awareness about the GOAT issue is beyond me. It just doesn't make any sense. Number two, this is not an individual sport.
Right.
That's, okay?
Yeah.
So for me, of all sports of all time, okay, I know he's talking about basketball, but it's not an individual sport. Like, there's so many other dynamics. There's so many other things that you bring into it to be the GOAT. And that are not basketball issue. Like, to me, LeBron James' shoes, once he's done playing basketball, are going to be non-existent.
Yeah.
That alone knocks a notch off of you to Michael. That alone. Because no one's buying those shoes like they did Michael's while he played. And no one will buy his shoes after he's gone. He's that type of person that's, like, current. Yeah. He's a current superstar. His stats are going to be beyond everybody's, okay, because his longevity and the way he plays, he's going to pass everybody. But there's just so much more that goes to, you know, just the fact that Michael is business smart makes him a bigger GOAT.
Right.
And stays out of politics, right? Stays out of politics and sells and resells his shoes.
Like, right. Version 17 of the same shoe is still selling for $200.
Holy shit. Like, have some awareness, bro.
Well, and that's the thing.
You surround yourself with people in a room that are yes men, and you've helped create their careers, and you watch yourself, and then record it, and talk about it. That's beyond me.
That's the hard part. Now, quick thing about, you know, Michael the businessman. I know Michael's a billionaire, so he's obviously got the edge there. That's not to say LeBron's not a smart businessman because he's got a million things going on. He's got that part of it.
Right.
Maybe by the end of
his playing days. I love that about him.
Yeah, and that's great. The LeBron James, everything he does and says is so calculated.
Yeah.
And he knows that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he knows that, you know, he knows what stat he's going to pass in the game he's about to play.
Yeah.
So he's already thought about what he's going to say when that, you know, it doesn't sound natural. It doesn't sound off the cuff. It never sounds authentic when you talk to him after the game and he does it.
Right.
And I think that that's the more troubling part to me is when everything else is so calculated. Like, this is not the moment where they're interviewing him after the game, where he did all these great things and he brought the first championship to Cleveland in 50 plus years and all that stuff that he said that made him think that is total bullshit.
Yeah.
Because this is 2 years later.
Right.
This is way after the high of those emotions.
Right.
And then on top of it, like you said, it's a team sport. So, you know, like, you're discrediting what the other guys have done. You've got the two other all-stars.
Totally.
Who, you know, and
that's, Kyrie, that's a whole other topic.
And Kyrie, who makes the big shot.
That's a whole other topic.
That seals the deal. And Kevin Love, who plays the defense on Steph Curry at the end. Like, there's so much more to that. To take that away from the – not like, forget about how he's disrespecting the greats before him.
Right.
And the ones who come after
him.
Right,
like Michael said.
Yeah.
Right.
Forget about that.
That clip.
But the guys that you're talking about like on your own team. Like they've just got to be rolling their eyes and be like, give me a fucking break.
That's crazy.
That's just awareness.
That's why I'm so like just it's almost at a point where he just maybe he's aware of it and he's like, fuck him.
I think part of this has to do with the growing discussion.
And that's the difference. That's why everybody dislikes him, because of that attitude right there, where you don't show any praise for them. Like sometimes you say, sit down, don't get up. Your team's going to get you up when someone falls on the court. You get that clip, right? How about the clip that no one talks about? How about the latest clip that no one – just this is all calculated shit that he does that bothers me is the one where he's talking to his second son on the basketball court on the sideline, and he says, don't be down on yourself. He's mic'd up for that.
Right.
The guy's camera is across the court, man.
Yep. Yep.
And they got him on that YouTube clip or whatever, the Instagram clip, where he's hyping up his son about the play that he made to the assist and all this play and not to be done. How the hell did they get the sound on that?
Yeah. That's how they got
it. No one talks about that. That's a calculated move, man.
All of them.
Like, he was going into that game saying, I'm going to do this later in the game. I believe that he thinks that way. So,
For sure.
He does. That's what I love about
100%.
Him. 100%. But damn, he's got to make it, put it on the IG. He's got to put it on everything. Everything's got to be calculated there. And it just gives it a false sense of like, just whatever. It's just not real.
I just think it takes out
the realness of it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. 100%. And there's never any.
Whoever made that clip, that Jordan one, the bite from Jordan, and then him saying that Jordan on the mic.
The difference,
just forget about what's said. Look at the emotions that are shown on that clip. That was the interview.
That was the interview with Michael Wilbon
after the third championship when he said, "I got this over Larry and Magic because they didn't have this."
Yeah, yeah,
dude. Just the honesty that came out of Michael at that moment. That clip and that one when he hit the shot over Elo. That clip that comes out.
Oh yeah,
like 2 years
ago.
Double
pump. Yeah.
Yeah, when the camera's angles on him and he's talking about Bill Cartwright. After he just hit a shot over Cleveland, over Craig Eagle.
Yeah.
Like, that's just what makes you a GOAT. That's what makes you a GOAT, man.
GOAT. I've always said this about LeBron. It's always been my guys, my team. You know, it's always been that.
I always overlooked it because it wasn't like really.
Well, and that's the thing.
I'm always just like, whatever.
I think in the past 2 years.
Now it's getting disrespectful to the other guys.
Well, and that's where I have the bigger problem with it, because, you know, to have, Frank has said this to us. Part of being the GOAT is the fact that you don't ever have to say it.
Right.
You don't ever have to proclaim yourself the guy.
Yeah.
And that's the idea of the guys who came before him and who made the game possible.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing is, you know, Jordan had this gap, I feel like. When Jordan left the game, I feel like there was a gap of the next greatest player. Like Kobe took him a little while to get to that point, and then LeBron comes along. But there have been guys after LeBron, like his window was much shorter, because of the way the game has changed and fitness and being prepared for the game. Bigger, faster, stronger.
Oh, I'll tell you what changed the game. It's social media. It's IG.
Well, there's that. It's Instagram. Of course.
It's changed the game. He's documenting what he does, how he does it pregame, what he wears, the fashion, the what I'm doing with my kids. I'm showing you how great a dad I am. I'm showing you the kind of wine. You don't walk into a fucking place. Kids watch you, dude. You don't walk in drinking wine. Okay? You're a role model. I don't care what the fuck you say. All right, you want to act like a role model? You want to sell shoes? You want to sell all this stuff? You want people to watch? You don't say the N-word on HBO. I don't care if it's HBO. And you don't walk into a facility on your day off drinking wine. You don't do it. I don't care. What kind of PR people do you have in your company that can't tell you you shouldn't do that? If I hire you to tell me what's the right things to do and say, if I hire you for my brand, right? He's all about the brand.
Mm-hmm.
I hire a PR department, right? PR, public relations.
For sure.
They tell me what's the best thing for my brand. Those aren't the best things for your brand, bro.
No, they can't be.
Okay? I don't care if you drink $500 bottles of wine every night. I like wine, too. I don't drink 500 bottles, but I like wine. I don't walk into the gym drinking a glass of wine.
I just can't get over this idea of the calculation behind it. Because my whole thing is, like, you've recorded this. you've prepared what you're going to say. You know what you're going to say because you have the guy in front of you who you know what questions
right.
he's asking. This is not a live interview. All
right.
of this, you like LeBron
right.
James probably demanded, what are the questions we're going to ask her? These are the questions I'm going to answer.
Yeah.
All right, I don't know that for a fact.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm assuming for a guy, most calculated superstar
yeah.
in the history of,
yeah.
of sports.
Yeah.
So you've
well,
not
you've
only,
seen have you seen him when he gets questioned by the media off the you know just off the rail like a question that does, he's not calculated, he gets defensive.
No, for sure, 100%.
He's like, "What? I'm the greatest." Or like it's just all of a sudden it's like, "You're the guy that's going to ask me that? I'm going to fucking tell you this then."
Yeah. And that part of it to me is so you went in with a plan, prepared, you recorded it, you've watched it a million
yeah.
times, and nobody in your inner circle.
Nobody.
Nobody in your inner circle can come to you and say, "I don't know about that, LeBron."
Yeah.
I don't know if we can go there yet. Maybe,
yeah. Yeah.
maybe somewhere down the line
right.
we release this. Maybe
right.
after you retire, maybe after you win another championship. Because I think in the last 2 years, LeBron has won over a lot more fans than people care to admit.
What's happening to him, I feel like, because it's happening the way I feel about him, is it's going to affect him after he's done playing. All this shit he's doing after he's done playing. Because, like I said, I don't think he's going to have that impact socially. Like he thinks he does when he's done playing, like Michael did. Because Michael's one of one to do that.
Right.
There's no other guy in sports that's ever had an impact that I can think of right now after playing as long as Michael's had.
Oh, no, definitely not.
Okay? And that's relative to his shoes and his brand of Jordan
For
brand.
Sure.
Okay? Jordan brand got him to become a billionaire. All right, a billion. We're talking about billions, not 300 million,
right.
but enough to buy a team and have all this shit. Like that's the Jordan brand. Right, the shoes, the clothes, all that shit got them to that point. Then he made great business decisions, right? Because he probably has a great business team, great agents that he listens to.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm getting
yeah,
at?
Yeah, for sure.
100%. He has a PR, people have said, best thing to do. And then also, we talked about this one time on the thread. He comes from a blue-collar family, man.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And this is no offense to people who wasn't raised with a blue-collar or with a father. He didn't have a father. I'm not giving him an excuse because he acts like it's a big deal. It is a big deal the other way. You didn't have no influence there.
For sure.
Okay, my dad died when I was 17, and I could feel that I didn't have some influence there between 17 and 30, where they'll say, yeah, I don't
it's
like
that.
It's
a big gap. Those are some of the most
okay,
impressionable
Okay, you can
years.
Have a father, which is fine, but then have a father who worked hard and busted his ass for his family to tell you, like, don't do that.
Right.
How about not? How about no on that decision? How about don't say that? Or how often are you saying that to your kid now, and you got a three-year-old kid, And I'm saying that to my son all the time. That's not the right thing to do. Let me explain why. Okay, let
yeah.
me explain why.
Yeah.
Like those things change you while you're growing up. He didn't have that, right? He had his mom. His mom wasn't even there. His mom wasn't there either. I don't want to insult his mom right now from the shit I heard that she did. But he was raised by his grandmother till later. Then his mom came back in his life.
Right.
That's just a hard bringing. He talks about that. No father in my life. But Michael had that blue-collar dad. Then he had his brother. He used to beat down on him and play basketball. So Michael knows. You know, he knows what to
right.
say, what's not. He learned. He learned.
Yeah, and there's so much to that. Like you said, that's a long gap. Those are impressionable years to not have that. It doesn't even, I mean, father figure doesn't necessarily even have to be your dad.
Right.
It's got to be somebody
right.
who steps up to the plate.
Good point.
Whether it was, you know, maybe it could have been his mom if she was in his life.
Do you think his
sounds
inner,
like she
do you
wasn't.
Think his inner circle would question him? Like,
that's well, the no, point. That's
no,
what we're trying
that's
to say.
The thing. They
yeah.
just throw rose petals
but
at
no,
his feet.
That's the point we're saying. It's like no one says, whoa.
Right. To me,
shouldn't
this
say
interview.
That. We shouldn't put that. But like, what's his name? Damon? Is it Damon Jones? Not Damon Jones, who played for Duke, who goes on Colin all the time.
Williams.
No, Jones.
Oh yeah, Duke.
Anyways, he works for ESPN or Fox, and he's like an analyst. You know, whatever. He comes on there and he talks about it, and he's like, he said that he was having a conversation with his friends. So
with a camera,
I said,
yeah, it's taped.
With the show.
And Colin was just listening. I'm like, what the I wanted to – if I could
oh,
be on
it,
that
was
fucking
– Dante Jones?
Dante Jones.
Yeah.
Not Damon Jones. Dante Jones. I wanted to – if I could be on that show right there and be like, this is a produced show.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
By him to watch himself. And no one shows the clip of when they – I saw the clip. I don't know if it was on Instagram or on some sports show where he watches himself as a kid when
right.
they ask him, you know, Kobe Bryant, would you want to play like Kobe Bryant? You want to be like Kobe Bryant when you get in the NBA? And he goes, I want to be like LeBron James. And he goes, tell him, young buck. Tell him, young buck. He's talking to himself like the ego, the sociopathic,
yeah.
egotistical things that are coming out of his mind. I'm like, oh, my God, dude. You're starting to see it in L.A., by the way, more
oh,
than you are of anywhere else.
Yes.
Are you?
And that's
you
where.
You notice that a little
bit? Yes, absolutely.
I told Marco that in a conversation at work one day. I go, you're starting to see, I don't like the LeBron L.A. the LA LeBron.
No, he's like amped it up to be Hollywood.
Yeah.
He's completely
I don't
amped
like
it up.
The body language with this whole I'm the old man, you're the young guy.
Right.
Right?
I don't like that at all.
Like he sits down on a bench with Zvi and he shakes his hand like it's the first time they met.
I know.
Did you see that?
Amazing.
He's like, and then they fucking put the lines on there like, "Hey, nice to meet you." Yeah, like halfway through the season.
Caption was like, Steve meets LeBron for the first time.
Yeah. I was like, oh, my God, dude.
To me, this interview just put Kobe ahead of him. I mean, you said the stats are going to kill everybody.
I'm glad you brought that up.
But the stats are going to be hard to dismiss.
Shout out to Donnie because he's always had Kobe over LeBron. But.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I feel like.
The Shaq thing really hurts Kobe.
But he won without Shaq, too.
I mean, it's hard. I love Kobe too, bro.
Come on. Well, I can't just say Shaq because he won without him.
People dismiss Kobe quick. I can't.
They do. And that's been LeBron's biggest victim has been Kobe Bryant in all of this because people got so caught up. And, you know, it doesn't help the way Kobe ended his career with the injuries and all that. But,
it's just Shaq.
He's a phenomenal player, man.
It's fucking Shaq,
I know.
Dude. Shaq
but
was still on his
with
prime.
What's his name? Bryant, too. Bryant, what's his name? The big guy, I don't even know his name, man.
Who you're talking about?
Lakers when he had he got hurt, the big guy in the center.
Pau Gasol.
No, the center though,
Andrew
Bynum.
Bynum.
Oh, Bynum.
You're gonna fucking bring up Andrew Bynum?
I'm saying he won with him.
He won with him.
Bynum. Get the fuck out of here.
You said Shaq. He won with Andrew Bynum too.
Shaq. Andrew Bynum.
Pau Gasol.
Pau Gasol.
That's my point.
Pau Gasol is what you're talking about.
No, I'm not talking about Pau. I'm saying
no. That's different. I wouldn't hold. I'm not holding Pau Gasol. Against Kobe.
Right.
Okay.
No,
that's Pau Gasol.
Yeah.
What about Shaq? He averaged 36 and 18 in that series.
One of the best.
Like, you got a guy averaging 30 something and 18.
Listen,
that hurts you.
John C. Billups beat him.
That hurts you in the debate of the GOAT. I'm sorry. It just does. That's not Dwayne Wade when LeBron goes to Miami. That's not Dwayne Wade. I'm sorry.
Google.
That's Shaquille O'Neal. In his prime. Sorry.
Go Google Shaq's finals.
It's
number.
Sick.
It's
sick.
He's a monster.
So
that's what Kobe got to play with.
But that's
and he won without him. Is my point.
Well, he still had Pau Gasol. That's what gives him the credit on those wins.
Right.
Otherwise, then you're out.
I have said for a long time that Kobe's been LeBron's biggest victim, and I felt like with what LeBron's entire body of work to me made him the second best player of all time, but this. Interview and the arrogance and the cockiness.
It's hard to like him, dude.
Oh, man, I'm like, and I've said
now
that.
I'm trying,
I don't
you
like,
know me.
I don't like LeBron, the non-ball player. And
I've never did.
Listen, the rape aside, I mean, Kobe has been a tremendous.
I forgot about that.
Why do you bring that up?
Hey, man, I don't want to know people's personal.
No, but and that's the thing, though. But you know, Kobe.
I love Michael Jackson. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to talk about it.
Exactly.
All right, sorry.
Kobe
R. Kelly?
Oh, my God.
All right, let's talk about R. Kelly
first
in a minute
all,
after this. I love. My mind's telling me no, but my body.
Everybody's ears right now are telling them no.
That one's going to be loud.
Everybody's singing along.
I can't even edit that to make it more appealing to the ears.
My body's telling me no. Yeah or no? So, I forgot. Whatever.
Body's telling them yes.
Kobe won with Shaq, but then LeBron LeBron lost with Dwayne Wade and Bosh to Nowinski and a bunch of wheelchairs.
Nowinski? Monica Lewinsky?
Nowinski, I said. Not Lewinsky.
Nowitzki.
Nowitzki.
There's no N. Nowinski. No, Nowinski, that's Fat Patricia and the Lion.
That's Monica Lewinsky's uncle, Ryan Nowinski.
I didn't say law. Nowitzki.
Nowitzki, Steve? What the fuck is that? Fucking Nowitzki. No.
Oh, my God.
Where's the Pat Patricia, dude? Oh, my God. If Pat Patricia and Monica Nowinski got together.
That's a hell of a party. That's a hell of a party.
Oh, my God. I'm literally crying right now. My eyes are fucking tears.
I think that's one of the
guys. Hold on. Stevie comes back and goes, I said Nowitzki.
Nowitzki. No, I said nah, because you said la. You said la, and I said nah.
No, I said Monica Lewinsky. You know who she is?
Yes, I know who she is, but I didn't say la.
Wow.
Oh, that was awesome. My mind's telling me no, but my body.
I just think, wow, my ears.
Oh, shit, that was fantastic. I needed that laugh.
You're talking about Kobe and LeBron and what LeBron did with against Nowinski. I think that's the point, and a couple of the guys brought it up.
I think people hold that against him too much, though. That's
But that's the separation, right? I think that's the argument that people are making. Like,
to me, it's Jordan, outside of the of sport.
But I think,
you know?
I think that's part of the argument that people are making, that Jordan with that team probably goes 4-for-4 in the finals, not 2-for-4.
Listen, the other thing
I think
no one talks about,
that's the separation.
If Michael had to beat, after he beat Larry Bird and Magic, it was just easy sailing for him. He was coasting, I feel like. Not coasting, I don't want to say that. But I really think there was more in the tank in those years, in the 90s. Not the Wizards years. But I really think he wouldn't have took those years off. Whatever people want to say that he had to, whatever, from the gambling and all that. I really think he would have fought harder if he had records to break. If he had goals, set the goals high. The guy was partying, dude, and playing golf every day. Like, he didn't, like, compared to what LeBron. LeBron sets goals, he goes after them, man. Like, Michael just didn't seem like he was after this 80s, after the 90s, the first three. I just really feel like he didn't need to, is what I'm trying to say.
Doesn't that make him that much?
He was already the GOAT after the third one.
But doesn't that make him that much more the GOAT? That
right.
He could go play 27 holes of golf and then go play a finals game and blow up for 40?
LeBron, dude, could do the same thing if you wanted to.
I'm just saying, like, but there was no emphasis on the body and physique and healthy eating. I mean, the guy was smoking cigars.
No, I know. Absolutely. I love that about him. That's why he's the GOAT.
And I think that like LeBron made it like
that's why he's the GOAT, because he was doing that and still coming out laughing at people.
All this comes down to is LeBron made it interesting for a hot second. For a hot second.
Yeah.
He was in the conversation and then he fucking tore it.
You know, man, listen.
Shit the bed.
I was watching on NBA TV. I was watching the Pistons game. LeBron against the Pistons. 05 was it?
Yeah.
04? 05? So that it was a playoff game. And he was so young.
When he went crazy in overtime?
Yeah, and his body language and his determination and what he was building, that's when you just fell in love with what LeBron was doing when he was young. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You saw this look in his eye where he was like, I'm here. I've arrived. I'm going to kill it. Like, I'm going to, you know, like he was just finding out who he is. And it was just so great to watch what he was doing. You never seen people fly through the air like so strong.
No, he was
incredible. The lane.
He was absolutely.
And like now it's just like, he's joking. He's out there wiping his shoes, stepping back on threes, and like it's just stupid. It's just different, man.
I just think
different LeBron.
I just think anytime people have to go in and add qualifiers to make the case for the new guy, then you've already lost.
Yeah.
You've already lost the argument.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
I think the conversation on Jordan versus LeBron is going to die down for a little bit. Until we see what happens in the rest of this season and in the playoffs and all that.
He'd have to win. He'd have to win in the next 5 years for me. He'd have to, first of all, he'd have to accomplish getting all those stats up there.
He's going to get them.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going to get them.
Those all-time stats. And then he's got to win at least two more times for me to even start thinking about it. That's always been I've always said that. He's got to win at least two more times. I don't care who he puts on his team. He's got to win them. I don't care. If he puts AD on there. Whatever. If he wins two more and he's got five and he's got all the top rebounding, assists, and points, I mean, come on.
Do you think comments like that came out in this?
When you guys start really not thinking about the comments, be like, dude, fucking guy. He's 37 years old. He just won another championship.
Let me ask you this.
Shit like that.
Ask you this. Do comments like that, would that deter other players from wanting to play with him?
Yeah. At his age, yes.
So
at his age, yes.
So the likelihood of an AD going
because
to the
like
Lakers,
the dynamic of a young guy going there, we'll talk about AD going there, but of a younger like up and coming star going to play with him, that dynamic is just like temporary now.
Right.
It's not like we're gonna build something together. And Kyrie was doing it. You know what I mean? Kyrie was ahead of the curve on that. He just didn't want to play with that. His ego is bigger than just as big as his. He thinks, right?
Yeah.
He just didn't want to play in that shadow. And he proved it. He proved he could do it while he was on that team. But you got to understand when two players are playing like that, they both release pressure off themselves.
For sure.
They're both helping without even helping each other. Like the double teams and the focus. And that's why I say Steph Curry's always in top three and not AD, because the focus on him, even him not scoring, makes it easier for everybody else. That's what my point is about players like that. But It's just now at this point in his career, and he's not helping himself with the attitude. When you're looking at players on the court and you're yelling at players and you're not getting back on D and you're not showing an example at 33, like all that work that you put into your body is supposed to make you play just as hard at 33, right?
Yeah.
Not conserve yourself like you're 33.
Yeah, that's
– What's the point then?
Right.
Right? What's the point of all that $2 million on your body if you can't do it at 33? What's the point?
Well, I just think that's what you get from the younger guys, too. They're going to say, well, if he's not doing it, why do I got to do it? Why can't I conserve myself?
Right.
So, and
you don't want to have someone saying to you, this is where their self-awareness is that you don't want to have someone saying, oh, it's LeBron. It's LeBron. He can do whatever he wants. No, man. No. That wasn't Michael.
No. Right.
That wasn't Michael. Michael was like, tip off, we playing. Yep. We balling.
I think,
Well, no, I'm not practicing today.
So many
like,
different.
LeBron
this
doesn't
like
practice.
Therapy.
LeBron doesn't practice. Like, Michael was like, we're playing. We're balling out. Right. It's a practice.
That was the other thing. Kobe's got one of the
Kobe too. That's where I put Kobe. I might put Kobe ahead of Michael on that one.
The reputation is
the so bad that people probably hated him.
I actually heard this on Colin. He said Kobe Bryant probably the best practice player in the history of the sport.
That's what I heard.
People
too.
Talked about the way he practiced. Like you absolutely hated fucking playing with him.
Yeah,
you don't want to fucking play with him because he played just as hard, if
that.
Not harder than
I
the
love
game.
That. I love that.
It's incredible.
I love that attitude. I got to put him ahead of Michael on that.
On the work ethic?
On the work ethic.
Yeah, probably.
I do. The guy was just crazy from the stories I heard and read about and just, like, little things. And the way he talks about it, like, that's where people disrespect Kobe. I love that work ethic, man, because that's what you try to teach your kids, and that's what you try to do.
Steve, are we boring you?
No, you're good.
Steve's yawning over here.
Steve's here. Fucking A. Steve was watching football, Steve fucking Nowinski cheering for touchdowns while we're in a deep conversation.
Yeah, because fucking Chicago missed a field goal to win it.
Oh, man. Crazy.
When the Bears lose, the Lions win.
It's a psychology show. It's a psychology show.
Is your mind still telling you no?
But my body. Isn't that crazy about him, dude?
Okay,
did you guys watch that?
My favorite part is this.
I tell the fans, dude, they haven't listened about that.
Hold on, because it's on my queue. I have not watched it yet.
Oh, you haven't?
I have read about it. My favorite part about it, though, is R. Kelly says he didn't watch it, but he says whatever you watch is a lie.
Oh, yeah. I watched two of the three. I'm going to watch the third one tonight. There's disclaimers on there every commercial. And I don't understand how they're even producing. They're putting this out there. Obviously, the lawyers are probably all into this. But how he's letting this without a lawsuit, if there is one, I don't know. There's a disclaimer that says, R. Kelly denies all claims, blah, blah, blah.
That's their way of getting.
I mean, they must have put it on there 10 times
for the hour. 100%.
But this guy was a predator, dude. Listen, I don't know. You know, Dota, you're 8 years younger than me. I don't know if you pay attention, but there was always rumors when the whole Aaliyah thing came out back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew Aaliyah was young, and then they got married. But they made it look like she was 18. Everybody was kind of like, But no one really kind of pushed it. You know, and then he got in trouble later in the years for the videos that came out where he was peeing on a young girl. Dude, this show talks about dancers and people he had. Dude, he was a predator.
Yeah.
Like he used to go to high schools. Well, and just park out in front of high schools and pick up girls. Wow. He would go to malls. One of the security guards, you guys got to watch it, but just to talk a little bit about it, he would go to the first thing they do when they go out on the road is go to the mall. And he would tell his bodyguards, go get some girls. So he would get these girls, and they're all aspiring singers, and he would bring them to the studio.
Oh, for sure.
And they would get them on the piano, and they're like, first of all, he was a musical genius, okay? He couldn't read or write. He would talk to these girls, and they would sing, and he would say, you're going to be great. I'm going to make you a star. Take advantage of them. Boom.
Yeah. See you later.
In his studio in Chicago, he had bedrooms set up. He had bedrooms set up, and he had these girls. They weren't held there, you know, forcefully.
Right.
They could leave when they want, but he would have these, like, young girls. We're talking about 15, man, 16, 14, 12. There was one that was 12.
Wow.
And he would have them in the room, and they had to ask him to come out. And he would let him out. Like, we want to get something to eat. Okay, go ahead. You couldn't talk to other people. You couldn't talk to the other musicians.
What a sicko,
you
man.
Couldn't talk to the other musicians in a band on the road. Like, if you were on a road, you couldn't have communication. Like, he owned you. And there was just so many, like, gross stories that are like one girl catches him and Aaliyah when she was 15 having sex in one of the trailers on a video shoot. Then they get married. And then you can just see it. It's just wrong. But I don't know how this wasn't just, I don't know, maybe it was an era. Maybe he was, like, at a peak.
Well, he was probably so protected, right?
He used to hang out at McDonald's.
Yeah, my God. You know, the
like he used to hang out at McDonald's, they said.
The interesting thing, there's an interview from years ago, and this is all I never ever needed to see about R. Kelly, was they're asking him. I forget what network it aired on, but they flat out ask him, are you attracted to teenage girls? And he asks, well, what age are you talking about? Like, how do you need a clarification on teenage girls?
Right. Like, 19 is okay for him because they're legal. That's what he's trying to get to.
You know what you're getting to.
Right.
And when you hear that answer from him, you answer the question with a question. That's all I ever needed to know about R. Kelly.
Yeah.
And I look, I mean, the guy was a musical genius, and we've talked about being able to separate.
And they're all fucked up.
And that's the thing, man. We've talked about
these musical geniuses think different, they act different, they got different kind of things going on.
I think sometimes there's something about that because I think you have to be wired a certain way to.
When I say musical genius, I don't look at. You may think I'm thinking like he's a great person.
No.
This is the same thing as like LeBron James is a basketball genius, right? I could say.
No, I'm with you 100% on
this.
This
is the same thing I'm saying. He's a musician. He makes music. They say like right off of his hand, he could write a song and say sing it this way, and then it's a hit. You know what I mean?
No, and I think, but that's my thing.
But like,
it doesn't
mean you're a great person.
I think,
and that's what society does.
Right.
They camouflage the bad, and they say like, and they had all these psychologists on there, and they say they hide from it by like talking about it. So they say the song, Age Ain't Nothing But a Number.
Yeah.
That's Aaliyah's song. Mm-hmm. That's about them. He wrote the song.
Wow.
Age Ain't Nothing But a Number. It's about a girl. If you hear the song, I don't know the lyrics off the top of my head, but it talks about like hooking up with me. Like it actually says the words like something like getting down or something like that. And then what's the other one? Everything is sexual. Everything was sexual with him. Like, you know, even that song we just laughed about.
I mean,
you know,
all of them.
Bump and Grind.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on. You know what I mean?
Maybe It's Cold Outside.
Yeah, right.
It makes that look like like you can sing in a church.
They talk about like the Michael Jordan song, like how like a genius he was, like how he like I Believe I Can Fly.
Right.
Like they're like Michael sent him all these videos of him, like you know when they were doing the video, and he would go play basketball. With Michael, because they're from Chicago both, and they're playing, and then he was in there like his brother was in, who's in jail by the way. They're interviewing him in jail. His brother.
That's fantastic.
And he's talking about it, and he's like. It's like we're just watching the videos and we're like, damn man, look at him fly. Look at Michael fly. And he goes, Rob would just jump up and go, I believe I can fly. It just come out of his mouth. Yeah. And they're like, there it is. Boom. There's the song for the movie.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? But that's the thing. I think it becomes a double-edged sword.
And that song, look at that. Of all the songs, they're talking about it. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. They're talking about it, how like that song then, it's just crazy how it is. Like that song was sung in like churches.
Yeah.
Motivational of songs, like of all these movies and all these speeches, and like every choirs were singing it all over in churches. And like, look who was singing it, like just sick, man. And then you sent that clip, I think, about him and the lipstick and his mom. And I wanted my mom, like, just they're different, man.
It's just, but I think that's what you see with these people.
Yeah.
Like, there's a fine line when you get to genius level, there's like, there is a fine line. And I think whatever in your head untaps that part of it, somehow untaps another part that just people
it's just different.
It's different.
Well, they talk about him being molested. Incredible. He was molested by family members. He talks about. They show a clip of him talking about it. They talk to his brother. They say, "Yeah, I was." His brother says, "I was molested by when I was a young kid." That fucks you up, man. Like that. I'm not giving him no excuse, by the way. But that fucks you up.
But yeah, that takes.
Okay,
a toll,
I'm sorry.
A toll.
That's fucking horrible, dude. That really just like to do that. People are sick, man, and you fuck kids up like that.
There is a conversation that needs to be had, I think, on a much larger scale about mental health and those things that happen in your younger years and those things. I mean, we're talking about LeBron James and not having a father figure in his life. Imagine this kind of stuff happening.
Oh, geez.
You know, and it's always like the majority.
Seeing it is one thing. That's damaging.
Well, yeah.
Having it done to you.
Yeah, that's. But that there's
Come
like
on,
a, there's
man,
a
I can't
crazy.
Even imagine
it's
that,
a
like,
crazy.
What you think about?
It is a crazy number. The statistic, I don't know it off the top of my head. I'm sure you could Google it. It is a crazy number of these instances of when it's a family member who's doing the abuse. It is incredible, and it makes you think. It freaks you out as a parent, man.
No, that's
freaks
crazy.
You out. Just
crazy.
Thinking about that kind of stuff, and that's just it's wild. Steve, you were watching some football during the show.
Yeah, it was a good finish. It was a good finish.
So you were rooting for the Eagles,
of course.
Would you pick the Bears in our pick 'em?
But why would I? I mean, I picked them because I thought they were going to win, but I don't want them to win.
Okay. I'll give you that. You know what? I texted the guys earlier. I said I was 50-50 on this game. I didn't have the balls to take the Eagles because they were playing in Chicago. But I did trust Foles more than I trust.
Well, what had
Trubisky.
Happened was he was getting ready to kick the field goal. It was 43-yarder, and they called timeout. He made it, and then
so they iced him.
They iced him, and he hit the post.
Man,
hit the post.
Can we talk about Pick'em real quick? How the fuck is Mark like 10 points better
than
anybody
else? We talked about this last show, too.
I don't even want to talk about it, dude. Half the guys in our league quit.
They did.
He's a smart guy. He knows football.
Well, if you need your picks, tweet at MarcoG45.
Can we talk about fantasy?
Yeah, let's talk about fantasy. Go ahead, Steve. We've had a lot of discussions this week about fantasy.
We've made some trades.
We've had some blockbuster trades.
Trading mill.
Woo. Fantasy basketball is fun. It's fun. But
you guys just got into it.
I think Marco Jokai needs to understand that it's fantasy. He isn't actually a general manager.
He takes everything seriously.
You know, there's I forget the name of the guys. They've got a YouTube channel. But they do these scenarios about the fantasy guys, and everybody's got a title, you know, like the commissioner or the no trade guy. I'm a real life GM guy. It's so funny.
That's
to,
great.
Like,
it makes sense now. I never was in it, dude. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because I knew it would. I never was in it, but I hear a lot of my friends talk about it. And that's the reason I didn't want to get into it, because I knew I would get like heavy into it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm fucking heavy into it, dude.
Tell me you're not.
Just as heavy as Mark, but except I'm not emotionally attached. Like, I'm watching my guys, I'm competing, like, you know what I mean?
Tell me you're not looking at a box score and then you're, like, trying to calculate the fantasy points when you see that.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But also, that has affected the way I watch the game. It's kind of I'm not happy about. It does affect the way I watch basketball
games. A little
bit. I'm more focused on player performances.
Right.
And or players playing against me performances, then I'm actually focused on the game, where that's what was the purity. It takes the purity out of the game a little bit. I ain't going to say, but it's still fun. I'd rather do it. I mean,
it's great. It's fun.
Football. I do it with my son. My son's into it. I love it. So he'll be in our league next year.
All right.
Guaranteed.
Cough it up. $100.
Yeah, he'll throw. He's got $100. He's going to throw $100 in there. I ain't fucking paying for him. Fuck that. Yeah, he's going to win. He's going to fucking pay. I don't give a shit.
That's great.
He's got $100 somewhere in one of his piggy banks. Somewhere.
I'm sure
we'll be counting change somewhere. I don't give a shit.
Hey, there's one thing you don't have to pay for, and that's this podcast. Make sure you tell your friends that.
Real quick, Dota, before you sign off, dude, did you get a lawn job?
Did I get a lawn job?
I seen that too.
Or did you go pay $300 to take your lights down?
Oh no, that's
oh, that's from your
that's
from your lift.
That's from when I put the lift up.
Oh,
to get the lights up.
Oh, I was like, still stay like that, matted like that?
Well, because it was
like a bad haircut.
It is actually. It is. My lawn's got two nice little divots.
Yeah.
In it, but yeah, that was from whenever it was November.
Yeah, okay.
The winter.
I was like, either he got a lawn job or he paid another $300. So he's paying $600-$800 to put the lights on and up. I'm like, this guy.
They come down easy.
Yeah,
they don't go up easy.
If it was me, I would just yank him from the ground all the way down.
That's almost what
lights
I did.
Be
just
busting,
from the roof.
Lights be busting all over the
gutters
place.
Falling over.
Oh yeah, I broke like a million clips already.
Oh man, my projectors. Easy peasy.
Easy
day
peasy.
After Christmas,
man. Mickey Mouse over here.
Wind up the extension cord.
Mickey Mouse over here.
Lights go in the drawer in the cupboard.
Thing.
Boom, done.
You did the projector too.
Yeah,
that's a Mickey Mouse. You
Mickey
guys
Mouse,
Mickey
bro.
Mouse.
Mickey Mouse looks good.
We don't have lifts. Don't
Mickey, I don't need a lift. I love Mickey Mouse.
No, I'm saying we don't have a lift to do that.
I don't have one either. I went and rented one.
I know.
I told you guys.
Young dad, Steve, one kid. That's young daddy over. He's got the energy, bro.
I told you
got that energy.
I had for the whole weekend. Anything I could have come knocked out your house.
Anything
your
new
house,
in 2019?
Mark's house?
Oh,
Frank's house?
Hell no, bro. I like
anybody.
That. I like that shit. Like
next year, I'm just going to show up.
Next year, I'm going to get another projector. I'm going to have three now. So I'll have three.
The side of the house are going to be
three
lit up.
Will look nice, bro.
He's going to have all three sides lit up.
Full-time Boom. Mickey Mouse over here.
Mickey and Minnie.
He's going to have one in the backyard for the neighbors in the back.
Mickey and Minnie, baby.
Steve, sign us off, dude.
What do you mean sign us off?
All right, check us out. Out of bounds.
Fuck, you want me to sign
off? Steve just struck you. Wow. Oh, man, Nowinski over here.
Nowinski. Monica Nowinski.
Great, I can make you guys laugh.
Dirk Nowinski. Check us out. Outofboundsdetroit.com. You'll find all of our information, where to find us, how you can download us. It's all free. Check it out. Rate us. Tell your friends about it and subscribe. Have a great week. Thanks for listening.